I'm Michael Hernandez. News time is 7:45. Texas charter schools have a graduation rate almost 30 percentage points lower than the state's traditional school districts. That's according to a report from the Intercultural Development Research Association, a research and advocacy group. Camille Phillips explains.
According to an IDRA analysis of 2016 data from the Texas Education Agency, just 62% of Texas charter school students graduated in 4 years. Meanwhile, about 90% of students at the state's traditional districts graduated on time. IDRA Policy Director David Hinojosa says the findings fly in the face of the argument that charters rescue children from failing schools.
When you look at the outcomes for these charter schools and this diversion of resources towards charter schools, they're not paying off. I mean, a 62% graduation rate versus a 90% graduation rate, that is quite shocking.
Hinojosa says it's fair to compare charter schools to all of the state's traditional public schools because they have about the same rate of students the Texas Education Agency considers at risk of dropping out of school. Bruce Marchand with the Texas Charter School Association disagrees. He thinks about 20% of charter schools shouldn't be included because the state rates them under alternative accountability standards.
When you look at an apples-to-apples comparison, you see that charter graduation rates actually are commensurate and even exceed those of traditional ISDs.
According to the Texas Education Agency, charter schools rated under normal accountability measures had a graduation rate of about 95% in 2015. But charter schools rated under alternative standards had a graduation rate of less than 50%. In San Antonio, I'm Camille Phillips.
One of the nation's biggest credit ratings agencies is warning about the economic consequences of climate change. Moody's Investor Service says if cities don't do enough to plan for storms in the future, their credit ratings could suffer. As Travis Bubenik reports, the warning is timely. New studies have found that human-caused global temperature increases made Hurricane Harvey's record rainfall more likely.
Moody's doesn't explicitly address climate change when it's coming up with ratings, but Moody's analyst Michael Wirtz says they do consider economic factors that are tied to things like sea level rise and more extreme weather.
For example, a tax base and economy or financial position or debt profile or issuer's approach to managing their physical assets.
Physical assets, as Houston knows well, could be increasingly damaged by flooding. The economy here is vulnerable to storm impacts on the ship channel or the refining sector. But it's not just about what Moody's calls those climate shocks.
What we're paying attention to here is not just storm events, but any change related to climate risk, whether that be a short-term storm event or a long-term incremental change in climate trends.
Wirtz says investors and banks are increasingly paying attention to this issue. They're looking at recent headlines about hurricanes and wildfires and wondering, is it smart to keep putting our money in those communities if that stuff's only going to get worse? And University of Houston economics professor Craig Perong says they're looking for action.
Investors are going to be interested in more than the optics.
Houston has a number of green initiatives meant to fight carbon emissions, from its electric city vehicle fleet to the 50 megawatts of renewable power it buys from a West Texas solar farm. Mayor Sylvester Turner is part of a national group of mayors that's committed to the Paris Climate Agreement, even if the White House isn't. Those efforts show the city acknowledging that it needs to confront the problem. But Perong says investors and the credit ratings agencies are going to be very particular about deciding whether it's enough.
They're going to take a very sort of dollars and cents view. So basically, there is the city doing things or not doing things that will impact the economic vitality of the city and thus its tax base and its ability to pay off the money it borrows.
You want to act as quickly as possible, but you also don't want to just create a plan for a plan's sake.
Laura Cottingham heads up Houston's sustainability office. She says Harvey has made city planners feel a more urgent need to do something to address Houston's climate resiliency. Cottingham's helping develop a comprehensive new climate action plan that, she says, needs to be meaningful and thoughtful.
What will it take in the future for communities to remain economically viable and successful? What do they need? Well, they need access to transportation. How does climate impact that?
Houston is hoping this kind of planning, along with its participation in sustainability reporting efforts like the Carbon Disclosure Project, will ease any fears from the financial sector about the city's future.
We were trying to do our best to benchmark and to track and show the improvements that we're making.
Houston's credit remains in good shape, and it's not like Moody's or any other ratings agency plans to downgrade cities based on climate risks anytime soon. In fact, even after Harvey's devastation, Houston's rating remained the same. But time is a factor. If cities like Houston don't do more to address climate change, they run the eventual risk of slipping into a downward financial spiral, where credit reductions make it harder to borrow money to deal with the climate impacts that caused the reductions in the first place. In Houston, I'm Travis Bubinick.